Fred Film Radio, Edinburgh International Film Festival, Scotland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the Edinburgh International Film Festival 2014, and I'm joined by filmmaker Samantha Fuller, who is presenting her film, A Fuller Life, and thanks for joining us today.
All right, well, thanks for having me.
So this is take two of our interview. So to recap what this film is about, it's about the great filmmaker Sam Fuller, his legacy in film history, but it's really also about the man and the inspiration behind these films. So would you like to tell our listeners a little bit more about the film?
Yeah, well, the word legacy is really a key word because, you know, I'm an only child. My father had me at the age of 63 and left me with a tremendous legacy. He left me with a room packed with memorabilia. He was a history hoarder. He kept everything, all of his writings, all of his research, all of his props, all in this gigantic room that was still breathing with his spirit, even though after he passed away, I decided not to touch anything in there because it was a way for me to still spend time with my father and just as a playroom. It's just so interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, archives, the Academy, University archives, they have all requested this material, but somehow in a very selfish way I was unable to part with it.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And
it just makes for a priceless, I mean, right from the start in the opening credits, when, you know, there's lines from his films in audio, but then we it's like there's a shot of this room with all this memorabilia and stuff, and it's absolutely, well, that really sets the tone for what is going to be a celebration of his life.
Absolutely. And you know, it's fun because watching his films growing up, I got to discover who my father was through the characters in his films. And I would always recognize people he'd tell me about or places he had been or experience he had had personally. And I'd see how he'd translate them into his film. So I thought it would be really interesting to overlap the two by telling his personal story and intercutting with film clips illustrating where he got his inspiration from.
Yeah, this is a film made up of his words and a lot of the things that are shot are actually his, some of which we have never seen as an audience too.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, so my father always told me we'd have a big party for his 100th birthday. And when it came time in 2012, when his birthday was approaching, his 100th, his big centennial, and he wasn't physically present to be there, I still wanted to have something special. Because as a little girl, he put that idea, he said that, he instilled it in me. And it was almost a subliminal message. I woke up one morning and said, you know what, I'm going to make a film as a tribute for his 100th birthday, and I'm going to invite our friends to be part of this film. And the entire cast and the crew volunteered their time to be part of it. And I thought, what better set, what better location could it take place than in his office? I mean, to have that on film, it's so photogenic. And we had, I mean, the best cinematographer light it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was just fantastic to be part of that experience, collaborating with all these great directors and this incredible crew. It was like a crash course in filmmaking for me, because even though I grew up on movie sets and I've acted in them, I never was part of actually making a film, you know. And I did everything. I did everything from, you know, of course, inviting the guests to come and read, but prepping the set, lighting the set, you know, setting up the tripods. It was really, on all levels, a great learning experience.
But on all levels, a celebration as well. With the, starting with the guests, it feels like a real celebration of his life and of his 100th birthday. With a lot of his friends and people that knew him, but even fans. You have some great, great names in there, like Wim Wenders. I loved his contribution so much. James Franco. Yeah. I mean, how did you get through to them? What did you tell them to kind of invite him along in this party?
Well, it was very simple. It's like I'm making a tribute film for my father, where I'm going to ask you to read this part I chose out of his autobiography, and we're gonna film it in his office. And yeah, it was pretty simple in the sense, I know usually filmmaking isn't that easy, but in this sense it really came together. It flowed so naturally. It was a total organic process, and I really feel like my father's spirit channeled it all to happen from the moment I woke up and decided to make it And then, you know, when I was cleaning out his office to, like, make room for the sound guy under the desk,
yeah.
I came across this huge box. And I opened the box, and in there were over 100 reels of 16-millimeter film of archival footage he shot during World War II. And they were unlabeled reels, and it was surprising they were in such good condition still, because it's been decades they'd been sitting down there. And I opened up a reel, held it to the light, and I saw him on film. And it was like he was saying, hey, now's the time to put this in the film. And it was almost, you know, it's amazing when these kind of coincidences happen. It's really chilling, and
real treasure trove. And actually, we mentioned something there. It's like this film is real easy to watch. He started off as we were saying it in our earlier take. Started off as a newspaper man, then he fought in the World War II, and then he became a filmmaker. So a real full life, like a fuller life.
Exactly. I thought it would be the most appropriate title for it.
Yeah.
You know. Because he did have a full life. And it's, you know, so once again, it's not just about the filmmaking. It's about the life he had. It's history in general. I mean, we learn a lot through this film. You know, we see also his essence and his optimistic spirit that he had. He was such a positive man despite all the horrors he had lived through. He came from a very poor family of 7 children. His father died when he was 11 years old. He was raised in New York during the Great Depression and had to be put to work as a young boy. And he hung out by morgues. He saw corpses at a very young age. He was on crime scenes. He witnessed executions. Then he went to the infantry. He fought for 3 years, did all the major battles, Sicily, North Africa, D-Day, all the way up to the camps. And I mean, the horrors that he experienced to keep such a positive spirit and to be such an optimist through all of that and have such a great sense of humor, that's also the message I wanted to convey. Is like, you know, we all have, especially after living such a long life, you live through these kind of things. And it's to really pass on a good message and as an inspiration. Because that's what he gave on to me. I mean, that was the biggest gift of life, was to be a fighter and a trooper and to appreciate what you have.
It is amazing that you're saying that. Optimism actually is the key to this film's appeal for anyone who is being introduced to Sam Fuller the first time, and I think would be very interested in watching all of his films after watching it. So, I mean, optimism obviously is a key. But there's some things that you must have remembered and other things that you must have discovered about your father. So what was that process like? What was the personal side of working on this film?
Well, I try not to get too personal in the sense that, you know, I wanted to be interesting to many people, and I didn't go into our family life much. I didn't mention his previous marriage, for example. You know, I pretty much brushed over with my mother, and she actually, I'm going to dedicate a whole film to her,
So
she knows, because she sure deserves it.
She's the muse.
She really is the muse, and she's the one who gave him that longevity. He would have never had such a happy, long life had he not met my mother. They had 30 years age difference, and my mother was, I mean, physically and mentally very inspirational to him.
Yes. And so, but some of the things that take place you live through. One of the things that really got to me was the production of White Dog, which kind of like led you to move to France as well. Do you have memories of that? What was that like?
Absolutely. That's a film. Yeah, that's a film that changed all of our lives in a personal way, because all for the better, in the sense that things do work out in a way. Of course, it was awful. He had just made a wonderful film, The Big Red One, before that, and his career was going again, and then he got this film, White Dog, that he always wanted to do. Have you seen the film?
The film White Dog. I haven't seen the film.
Well, it's just, you know, just a really touching movie, and it had a big misunderstanding, and it was falsely accused of being a racist film, which it is not at all.
It's troubled. There was a whole thing around it. That was
exactly the opposite, and the fact that the film was never released at the time. Yeah. They did release it, you know, 10 years later, but not a major release.
Even to this day, it's still kind of like one of the films that you don't hear much about.
Yeah, and it's such a fantastic film, and especially, I mean, so for me, yeah, it was my first experience. I was on other sets before, but at that time I was 6 years old, so I really remembered. It was, you know, there was a dog in the film, and I was in the film myself.
Yeah.
We shot it down the street from where we lived, so, you know, it was really on that production a lot. So I have vivid memories of being on the set with my father, but, yeah, it led us to move to Europe, which actually wound up being a wonderful time for the three of us, my parents and I. And, you know, my mother's German, so I got to travel a lot to Germany and bond with my German side of the family, had I not known if we would have stayed in America.
Wow.
So, I mean, it all works out in the end. Yeah, on a personal level, it works out. And thanks to that film, I'm fluent in French. I did all my school there. And I'm very thankful that I wasn't, you know, I love America. I love Los Angeles. But I'm really thankful that I got to have this European experience as well.
There's that optimism again.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out. It worked out, you know. And that's how it is. You get dealt a certain cards, and you got to play them right, you know. You can't just throw them away because it's not the hand you were hoping for.
On that optimist note, we'll have to wrap it up. But it was great talking to you. It's a great film. Yeah. And like I said before the interview, I can't wait to go on a personal movie marathon, Sam Fuller.
Absolutely.
All the way.
And it's based on a 600-page book.
And there you go.
Face, yeah.
So I'll have to look that up,
too. The full story was really hard to narrow it down and edit it down to an 80-minute film.
I'm sure it was.
It could have gone on forever. Yeah. But I did want to leave it on that positive tone.
Yeah. There you go, guys. So thanks very much for talking with us
today. Thank you. My pleasure. My pleasure.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.